Biltmore Oswald, The Diary of a Hapless Recruit by Thorin Smith. May 28th. I am slowly forming back into my pristine shape, but only after having been freed from bondage for some hours. After several more sodas, concoctions which up till recently I've despised as injurious, I guess I will have filled out to my usual dimensions around the waistline. But when I consider the long days of womanhood stretched out before me in the future, I will admit it is with a sinking not only of the waist, but also of the heart. More indignities have been heaped upon me. Why did I ever take up the profession of a showgirl? Today I fell into the clutches of the barbers. They were not gentle clutches, brutal rather, and such an outspoken lot they were at that. "What's that?" I asked one of them as I stood rather nervously before him with bare chest. "Why that," I replied, a trifle disconcerted, "that's my chest." He looked at me for a moment, then smiled a slow, pitying smile. "Hey, Tony," he suddenly called to his colleague, "come over here a minute and see what this bird claims to be a chest." All this yelled in the faces of the entire Biff Bang Company. It was more inhuman and debasing than my first physical examination in public. The doctors on this occasion, although they had not complimented me, had at least been comparatively impersonal in dispatching their offices. But these men were far from being impersonal. I perceived with horror that it was their intention to use my chest as a means of bringing humor into their drab existence. Tony came and surveyed me critically. "That," he drawled musically, "is not a chest. That is the bottom part of his neck." "I know," replied the other, "but somehow his arms have gotten mixed up in the middle of it." Tony shrugged his shoulders eloquently. He assumed the appearance of a man completely baffled. "Honestly now, young feller," continued my first tormentor, "are you serious when you try to tell us that that is your chest?" He drew attention to the highly disputed territory by poking me diligently with his thumb. "That's the part the doctor always listened to whenever I had a cold," I replied as indifferently as possible. The man pondered over this for a moment. "Well," he replied at length, "probably the doctor was right. But to the impartial observer, it would seem to be, as my friend Tony so accurately observed, the bottom part of your neck." "It really doesn't matter much after all," I replied, hoping to close the conversation. "You all were not sent here to establish the location and the different parts of my anatomy, anyway." The man appeared not to have heard me. "I'd swear," he murmured musically, standing back and regarding me with tilted head, "I'd swear it was his neck if it weren't for his arms." He suddenly discontinued his dreamy observations and became all business. "Well, sir," he began briskly, "now that we've settled that, what do you want me to do to it?" "Why, shave it, of course," I replied bitterly. "That's what you're here for, isn't it? All us showgirls have got to have our chests shaved." "And after I've shaved your chest, dear," he asked with a soothing voice, "what do you want me to do with it?" "With what?" I replied, enraged. "With my chest?" "No," he answered easily. "Not your chest, but that one poor little pitiful hair that adorns it. Do you want me to send it home to your ma, all tied around with a pink ribbon?" I saw no reason to reply to this insult, but stood uneasily and tried to maintain my dignity while he lathered me with undue elaboration. When it was time for him to produce his razor, he faltered. "I can't," he said brokenly. "I haven't the heart to cut it down in its prime. It looks so lonely and helpless there by itself." He swept his razor around several times with a free-handed, blood-curdling swoop of his arm. "Well, here goes," he said, shutting his eyes and approaching me. Tony turned away as if unable to witness the scene. I was unnerved, but I stood my ground. The deed was done, and I was at last free to depart. "That's a terrible chest for a showgirl," I heard him say to Tony as I did so.